dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode number 86. Let's get to it. We just, of course, finished week 6. We just also finished some Taça da Liga matches this week. And, of course, now we are heading toward week 7. We've got European football next week. Fernando Santos announcing his squad selections as well next Thursday. We also got Taça de Portugal coming up this week. So I'll get to that all in a few minutes. And let me just say, first off, regarding last weekend, not really any surprises. We basically saw all the big teams win, including Braga on Monday night, 0-0 until the 80th minute. 4 goals scored in the match. Braga went on to win 3-1. So nothing really has changed in terms of the top of the standings, although it's good to point out that Portimonense finds himself in 6th place, really having a very good season down there in the Algarve with manager Paulo Sérgio. But I think the thing I want to start off this podcast with that I kind of want to bring to attention is, before I do the scheduling and the second division report and my predictions, and by the way, very excited. Last week, I was a perfect 5-0 in my predictions, doing very well, and I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But I wanted to start off talking about, as we head into these this week and the next weekend, and then, of course, we have the international breaks, we've got 4 managers in Portugal that are on the hot seat. Basically, what that means is you've got 4 managers right now that are under a lot of pressure, and those, of course, are the essentially the 4 bottom teams in the Liga Bwin. Start off, of course, with Ivo Vieira, who is the manager of Famalicão. Vieira, who's a Madeira-born manager, had a great 2018-19 with Moreirense, leading them to 6th place that year. Great season. Took over Vitória Guimarães in 2019-20. 7th place finish. He, of course, also, if you remember, they were playing in the Europa League that year. And they went to the Emirates. They lost 3-2 on a goal, stoppage time goal. They came home to Vitória Guimarães a few weeks later, and they drew 1-1 with Arsenal, which pretty much dominated the group that year. But Guimarães took care of business and walked away very respectfully. But Ivo Vieira is having some issues with Famalicão. They are sitting at the bottom with just 3 points. Another manager, João Henriques, for Moreirense, is in a little bit of trouble. They also have 3 points. A lot of you will probably remember Henriques. He managed Santa Clara for 2 years, especially the year that they came up from the second division. 10th and 9th place finishes, middle of the, you know, mid-table finishes for Santa Clara, which is pretty much their objective every year. Things have not gone very well for him this year. Things didn't go very well for him last year when he managed Vitória de Guimarães. He is sitting at the bottom with 3 points. He is on the hot seat. One of my favorite managers in Portugal. I remember him when he was a player with Boavista and Benfica. And, of course, that's Petit. Bilanense Sad, or as I like to say him in Dublin, B-Sad. Last week came very close to getting their first 3 points of the season in terms of a win. Gil Vicente scored in the stoppage time to draw 1-1. But Petit and B-Sad are really stuck at the bottom, also with 3 points. And then, of course, you got Paco of Tundela. Despite having players like João Pedro, Thiago Dantas, Curesima, who came on loan from Sporting, they are also at the bottom of the standings with 3 points. They've given up 12 goals so far. So they're averaging literally giving up 2 goals per match. So these 4 managers are in a lot of trouble, and they've got about 2 weeks to change things. Could happen as soon as this weekend if any of them lose again, especially Tundela, which has already lost 5 in a row. But I'm bringing this up because basically you've got 4 managers on the hot seat. The international break is coming up, and if these managers don't turn things around, they could lose their jobs by the international break. Because remember, during the break, that's an opportunity for a manager to come in and work with the players for about 8 or 9 days before the next matches begin. You also have to remember a lot of these players that played for this team. You know, they might lose a few players to maybe the under-20s or under-21s or maybe a few players in other countries, but they're obviously not losing as much as, let's say, a Big Three team. So usually decisions are made on the future. So keep an eye on these four managers. You know, like I said, some of these managers were up and coming a few years ago, but we got four managers on the hot seat. And I think that when we talk about the future, I think we've got to be looking out for those four managers and what their futures are going to be. Let's get going with the schedule like I always do. Of course, here we go. Week 7, round 7 gets going on Friday. Sporting hosting Marítimo and Alvalade. Porto will be making the short trip up to Barcelos to play Gil Vicente. Obviously, the reason why they are both playing on Friday is because you've got European football next week. Saturday, Benfica will be making the trip up north to Minho to take on Vitória Guimarães. Vitória Guimarães, in the last two of the last three matches against Benfica, they have drawn 1-1, although one of those was a Taça da Liga match that went to penalty kicks that Benfica won. But Guimarães has been tough with Benfica, so that's going to be a match on Saturday. And then, of course, Braga is going to be making the trip out to the Azores to play Santa Clara. Then, of course, on Tuesday, you have the Champions League. You got Porto playing Liverpool. You got Sporting going to Germany, never an easy place. You know, Portuguese teams really struggle in Germany. They're going to be playing Borussia Dortmund. And then, of course, on Wednesday, Benfica will be at home playing Barcelona in the Luge. By the way, so that essentially means if we were in more normal times where we were, where these stadiums were allowed full capacity and you were able to get tickets, you could have gone seen Porto, Liverpool in Porto on Tuesday night. Then you could have driven the next day to Lisboa to watch Benfica, Barcelona. That would have been nice to see Benfica, you know, Portuguese teams play back-to-back nights against two of the European giants. And of course, by the way, if you're a Benfica fan, if there's ever a good time to be playing Barcelona, right now is the best time to be playing Barcelona because they are not doing very well. We know Liverpool will still be Liverpool, but very interesting that next week in Portugal, we've got two Euro giants coming to Portugal. There'll still be fans, probably 20,000 in every stadium, but during normal times, or at least normal times when things are fully opened up, that would have been nice to try to do Liverpool on Tuesday and Barcelona on Wednesday. That would have been really nice. Braga is also going to be playing. They'll be playing against the team in their group from Denmark. I am awful at pronunciating names, so I'm not even going to mention the team from Denmark. But Braga, by the way, must-win match for Braga. I know it's only match day 2, and they've still got matches left to play. But basically, they lose, and they're going to put themselves in a big hole to try to finish in the top 2. And then next Thursday, we have Fernando Santos from Cidade do Futebol. He'll be announcing his squad selections for next month's matches. Portugal only has one official World Cup qualifier match next month against Luxembourg, but they're also playing Qatar. Qatar, again, is in Portugal's group because there was only 5 teams. They're kind of filling out being the 6th team, but, of course, doesn't count. And we already, of course, played them in Hungary. But he'll be announcing the squad selections for those two matches, which will both be taking place in Portugal in the Algarve Stadium. And that'll all be taking place on next Thursday. So you've got round 7, week 7 this weekend. And, oh, by the way, you also have... let me correct myself. Taça de Portugal this weekend. So there is no second division matches. You essentially have teams from the second division as well as the teams that have advanced from the first round from the third division and the districts. The districts leagues, they'll all be playing this weekend. This is not the round yet when the teams from Liga B when join. That takes place next round. So this weekend you have... basically, round week 7 of the Liga B-Win. You have the Taça de Portugal taking place. Then you've got the Champions League in Europa next week. And then, of course, you have Fernando Santos playing his match. Announcing his squad selections next Thursday. And then a quick peek toward next week, round 8, as I look here at my desktop, in case you're wondering about the clicking. And, of course, this is the last one before the next international break. Very interesting match. Arouca will be hosting Sporting. Benfica Portimonense. I think that's shaping up to be a good match, especially if Portimonense could win again this weekend. Braga Boavista. two teams from up north. That's always, you know, a very good match. So that'll be good to see. And then Porto at home next weekend will be playing Passos de Ferreira, which, again, middle of the pack team, but always a very good match when they come to the Dragon. So that is the schedule for the upcoming week. Quick thing, second division report. Again, no matches this weekend, but I did want to mention, of course, last week, the big match in the second division was Riwa Feirense. Again, I'm talking about the Feirense up north in Santa Maria de Feira, not the Feirense, in case you're wondering. Of course, they're spelled differently, but there's the other Feirense from Algarve. Big match, Riwa defeating Feirense from Santa Maria de Feira. Feirense, excuse me, winning 4-0 at Vila do Conde in Riwa's house. A shocking result. Riwa Feirense, by the way, was pretty much a first division match like 2 years ago. You know, they were both playing in the first division. But now, of course, times have turned a little bit tough on them. But that was a very interesting match, a very surprise to see them, you know, Feirense going to Vila do Conde, making the short trip and walking away with the 4-0 win and away match. But Feirense and Riwa, of course, are still at the top. Matter of fact, when I go here on my computer to go looking, of course, you've got Feirense at the top with 15 points, Riwa with 13. Benfica B taking care of business last week with the 2-2 draw at the Feirense in Algarve. They are in third place with 11 points, followed by Penafiel, Mafra, and Casa Pia with 10 points each. At the bottom, you've got Academica. And, you know, one thing I wanted to mention about Academica, of course, was managed by Rui Borges, but not a very good week. Academica with only 2 points, and they decided to make the manager change. Nacional also made a manager change. Costinha, of course, you know, a lot of people remember him when he played for Porto and Mónaco and the Portuguese national team with Scolari. He'll also, of course, forever be in legend. If you remember that famous game in Old Trafford, Tim Howard saves the shot. The rebound goes out to Costinha. He scores the goal to help Porto with the away goal in Old Trafford. José Mourinho goes running down the sideline. That's what Costinho is always going to be remembered for as a player, because it's a fantastic moment in Portuguese and Porto history. But he was a second time as manager of Nacional. First time he actually led them to promotion. This time, not so lucky. Things just not going very well for Nacional in 13th place. Unlucky 13th place. Unlucky number 13. He, of course, left Nacional. And interestingly, we had a bit of recycling. So Rui Borges, who was at Academica with only 2 points, basically just got the job in Nacional. So he goes from managing a team with 2 points in the second division to a team now with 6 points. Had a few people ask me, like, what's that all about? Why would they go after a manager that was also fired the day before? You got to think about economics, and you have to think about, you know, who's available. You got a manager here like Rui, who, number one, already knows the second division this year, having been with Academica. He already knows what to expect from the players. Managers in the second division make okay money. They don't make great money. So that always plays a factor. So Nacional deciding to go with someone who was already managing Aleco. So a little bit strange, although that's not unheard of in Portugal, to be really honest with you. So Costinha is no longer the manager of Nacional, and Rui Borges goes from Academica after being let go, and he's now the manager of Nacional. And again, second division this weekend, it's all about the Taça de Portugal, the Festas. The only two matches for me that kind of stood out in the Taça de Portugal is, of course, Vianense from Viana do Castelo. They're going to be playing our old friend, no longer in the first division, Vitória Setúbal. And then, of course, the original Belenenses. Obviously, Belenenses Sad had a dispute a few years ago with the parent. Belenenses broke away. They still have the name Belenenses. I think they won it in court. I'm not really sure the whole story, to be honest with you. But the original Belenenses, who's trying to come back up, they started all over. They, of course, are now competing, and they've got a team looking up. Get back eventually in a few years. A lot of work to do, though. They're going to be playing a team. I believe this is a district's team, Pero Pinheiro. So Belenenses, the original Belenenses, will also be playing this weekend. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit proud. by my predictions last week. I was a perfect 5 for 5. I got nothing wrong. This season, I am up to 13 correct, 4 incorrect. My winning percentage now of predictions is at 76%. Remember, I'm doing this for fun. You know, my goal is by the time I get to, I guess, the Taça de Portugal final, the very last official match of the season, I want to have my predictions be winning at 75% or higher. And I'm glad to say that I'm at that threshold now. I'm at 76%. Last week, I predicted that Portimonense would beat Santa Clara 1-0. Portimonense won 2-1 at home. Again, I'm predicting win, loss, or draws. I'm just throwing in the results just for fun. But I predicted Portimonense would win, and they did, in fact, win. Braga, I predicted they would beat Tundela 2-0. Braga went on to win 3-1. This was a match where all four goals basically took place in the last 10 minutes after the 80th minute. But for a while there, it looked like they might be headed toward a 0-0 draw. So again, Braga winning 2-0. I had predicted 3-1 was my score prediction, but nevertheless, I got Braga right winning against Tundela. I predicted Benfica would win 2-1 against Boa Vista. I was right. Benfica defeating Boa Vista 3-1. I predicted 2-1. Porto really beating up on Moreirense. Again, a lot of pressure on the manager of Moreirense, like I just discussed a few minutes ago. I predicted that Porto would win 3-0. Porto went on to win quite easily 5-0. Fabio Vieira, 3 assists. Diego Costa. It's going to be a hard decision for Sergio Conceição. Does he, you know, Marchesin, of course, is back training lightly with the team. I'm not really sure if he's going to be called up for international duty, so he'll have more time to recuperate. But pretty soon, Sergio Conceição is going to have to make a tough decision. I think he's still going to go with Diego Costa as a manager. Like, if you're playing poker, you go with the hot hand. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But right now, by the way, that's a very good problem for a manager to have. When you've got one player doing great, the other one, your regular, is back. That's a great decision for a manager. That's not the easiest decision, but managers love those problems instead of worrying about other things. So anyway, I predicted Porto would win 3-0. They went on to win 5-0. And then I predicted Sporting would win at Estoril. That, of course, was the biggest match of week 6. And I predicted that Sporting would win 2-0. They went on to win 1-0. Goalkeeper mistake by Estoril led to the PK. And that helped Sporting walk away with the win. Sebastian Coates was back. Sporting, I had someone bust my chops sending me a tweet basically about the fact, you know, do I still think Sporting is the best team in the league? Well, I'm going to answer him in the next. And by the way, obviously, I enjoy that banter, but I'll answer that in part 2 of this podcast coming up. My predictions for this week, again, 13-4. I've gotten my last 6 right. We'll see if that continues. But we've got Sporting on Friday playing Marítimo. I'm predicting a 2-0 win for Sporting. I just don't see Sporting dropping points. Marítimo. Again, just saw the other day that their pitch at their main stadium is still not ready to be used. And of course, now they've got to come to the mainland and play Sporting. And it's been somewhat of a tough season for them. Matter of fact, as I go back here to my desktop, Marítimo, of course, is in 11th place mid-table. But I just don't see them going to Sporting and taking away points. So I'm predicting Sporting will win, and I predict the score will be 2-0. Porto's going to be going to Barcelos. Beautiful town, Barcelos. They'll be taking on Gil Vicente. Gil Vicente, a few years ago, beat Porto in their stadium. They tend to do that every once in a while. But I still think Porto right now, firing on all cylinders. Tareme, they've got Tony Martinez back this weekend. You know, just about... You know, everyone's back. Pep will not play this weekend. Obviously, he's still trying to get over an injury, but all signs are pointing that he will be available for Liverpool. But I'm predicting Porto will win 2-1. I think it'll be interesting early. I see Tareme taking care of business and scoring the winning goal. Guimarães-Benfica is a very good match, like I was saying earlier in this episode. But I still think Benfica is going to come out on top 1-0. Benfica, of course, perfect in the Liga so far. 6 wins, 6 matches, 6 wins, 18 points. And they are doing very, very well. So Benfica 1-0. Predicting also Santa Clara will draw with Braga. I got Braga right last week, but the previous weeks I got Braga wrong. Santa Clara, of course, again, they find themselves in 14th place, but I think they're a little bit better than that, especially with the way they played in European competition. Braga is not, they just don't seem to be playing that well. And if they get a negative result on Thursday and then they've got to make the 2-hour trip to the Azores. I don't like either one of these teams to win. That's why pretty much I think I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw between these two teams. And then the other team I'm going to pick, making it five picks, five prediction picks for round seven, week seven. I've got Passos de Ferreira defeating Belenenses Sad. I so want to see Belenenses Sad win. I have a, you know, I love their colors. I'm rooting for them, but I just don't see them going to Passos de Ferreira recording a 2-0. I see Passos de Ferreira winning 2-0. I just don't see Belenenses Sad pulling out a point. If they can get a draw, that'd be a great result for them, but times are tough for Belenenses Sad, or as I like to call them, B-Sad. So again, I've got Sporting beating Marítimo. I got Porto beating Gil Vicente. I got Benfica beating Guimarães. I got Santa Clara Braga drawing, and I got Passos de Ferreira defeating Belenenses Sad. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. This is what I call the Fast and Furious section. Going to really just talk about some of the hot topics that have been in the news all week. Before I did that, let me just correct one thing I said in the first part of this episode when I was talking about Braga Tundela. I think I said that Braga beat Tundela 2-0. And basically, that's incorrect. Braga beat Tundela 3-1. I had predicted that Braga would win 2-0, but they obviously won 3-1. So correction on that if I mixed anybody up. And let me, before I get started, let me also give a shout out to my favorite club in Portugal, the club that every week I enjoy listening to a little bit of the Relato and, you know, following them online. But good luck to my hometown team from Arcos de Valdevez, Atlético dos Arcos. They will get their season going. Of course, they are in the districts. They were in Division 3 briefly for like a year, but the dream is always there to go back to the third division and maybe higher. But they're going to be playing. Of course, they did not qualify for the Taça de Portugal, but regionally in the districts, all the local regions have their own, you know, within their region, you know, their own Taças, Taça de Portugal, so to speak. But the, in this case, the Taça de, of the Associação Futebol de Viana do Castelo. But Atlético is going to be playing Melgaçantes. Melgaçantes, of course, from Melgaço. They got a beautiful soccer stadium, football stadium in Melgaço. A lot of some Division One teams, and I think even some teams from Spain during the summer, even use it for some of their preseason when they want to go to a part of the country in the mountains where it's a little bit cooler in the summer. But Atlético will be playing Melgaçantes in the first round of the Viana do Castelo Taça. And good luck to the boys this weekend playing at Estádio do Cotada. Let's get going with the Fast and Furious section here regarding the news. We'll start off first with Benfica. Rui Costa made it official this week. He will be running for Benfica president. Not a surprise. Again, he's going to win. I'd be shocked if he didn't win, especially if they take away points from Barcelona. I'll repeat this again, and you're going to get tired of me listening to it, but it's the truth. When your main team, the team that is basically your money team, and that's the first division soccer football team, wins, everybody is happy. No one's going to be unhappy if the basketball team loses or the futsal team to a certain degree, but it won't be as disappointment as when people don't see their first division team win. But Rui Costa has announced that he will be running for president. And like I said, I predict on October the 9th he will win. I saw one of the people that are planning on running against him did an event. I think there was something like 14 people there. I'm not really sure why they wouldn't have more people, but I just don't see Rui Costa losing it. But he, of course, announced it. And very interesting also, this has been the subject of much criticism with Benfica, and that is, of course, that BTV, which is, of course, Benfica's subscription TV channel, they never used to do interviews with the presidential candidates in past year. I don't even think they did debate, and they have just said this year that that will be the case. They will be doing interviews, and I believe they'll be doing debates. Correct me if I'm wrong in the part about the debates, but that the candidates will have the opportunity to go on BTV. I've spoken about this with Benfica fans. Why, if you have a presidential election, won't the club's TV channel do something? Sporting did it. I remember Verandas doing a debate with, with like 7 or 8 candidates. And if I remember correctly as well, Porto Canal, the last time that, the most recent time that Pinto da Costa ran for a president, if I recall, I remember seeing a debate as well. But Benfica didn't do that up until this week when it was announced that they will be holding the elections. And you got to wonder, in light of all the controversy that Benfica's been dealing with Luis Filipe Vieira, if maybe Benfica felt that there was time to give these new candidates instead of just, you know, maybe they felt that Luis Filipe Vieira in the past got too much attention being on BTV, and they felt maybe they should just didn't do anything and keep it fair. But at the end of the day, I think it didn't give the other candidates a chance to be featured more for people to make their decision. So anyway, BTV will be basically allowing the candidates, I believe there's going to be 2 more that are going to be featured and get their chance to talk to the Benfica audience. Rui Costa, by the way, very classy move. This week was, of course, the 15th anniversary of the Seychelles campus. Of course, that is where Benfica trains. That is where their academy is. And they've sold over 500 million euros of players to throughout Europe. And basically, the academy's done very well. And he gave credit to Luis Filipe Vieira for building Seychelles campus. I thought that was a very classy move. Regardless of what you think about Luis Filipe Vieira, he was a big part of building that up. Another big thing with Benfica I wanted to mention, Darwin Nunez, second straight brace in Liga play for him. Brighton over the summer offered, by reports, 30 million. Benfica said no. I think that's turning out to be a very smart decision. Sporting, I had a follower reach out to me, bust my chops. Again, good banter. Asking me, did I think Sporting was still the best team in Portugal? And I think I said this a few episodes ago that, first of all, I did say yes, that I did think that Sporting right now is the best team in Portugal. But during the season, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have players that get hurt, that change the composition of a team. You're going to have players that are suspended. Look at what not having Sebastian Quads did. And Sporting these days doesn't have Pote, who looks like he's going to be out until at least until the international break. And I don't think he'll be playing right away. You got, of course, a few other injuries with Sporting. My point is I think when Sporting has their full allotment of players, I think Sporting's a very good team, yes. Benfica is obviously right now playing the best in the league. Porto, you got to give them respect for what they did at Atletico Madrid. But I think when you've got the full team, this team of Sporting has shown that they could be the best team in Portugal. Now, as we head toward the next 1, 2, and 3 months into Christmas, obviously that's going to change. We'll see if, in fact, Sporting is the best team in Portugal because, you know, like I said, things change, injuries, players. Sometimes players get hurt and a new player has to step in and doesn't do a good job. But I just think when Sporting has all these players, they just are a very, very good team. What Sporting needs right now is they need a guy like Giovanni Cabral to be scoring goals like he did in the past. Paulinho's agent went on, was interviewed the other day and basically said he thinks his player, obviously he's speaking good about his player. Did you expect him not to be speaking good about his player? He expects Paulinho to score 10 to 15 goals this year. And I can't believe that media would report that, because what else did you expect as the agent to say? But I think also to me that Paulinho really hasn't done what he had done at his best at Braga. So very interesting remark. Again, he's just defending his player. But what happens if he doesn't come close? Especially now you got Sarabia. You got Pote who eventually will be coming back. What happens if Giovanni Cabral finally gets going again? Unless Sporting scoring 5 goals, 6 goals a year, it may not be easy to reach that mark. But hey, Paulinho did. I thought he was one of the best players against Ajax. So obviously he scored and he had another one called off. So there's no doubt that he is capable of doing that. But Sporting did pass the test against Estoril. I still want to see them as we go through the rest of these months. Champions League, middle of the week. The Liga on the weekend. They're going to be playing Tasa de Liga matches coming up soon. They still got to go to Familiacong. Familiacong won the other day in their Tasa de Liga group. And, of course, we know that Ruben Amorim has not had a lot of luck against Familiacong. So they've got to deal with that. They still got to play the Tasa de Portugal. So, to me, there's still challenges ahead for Sporting. So we'll see where they are going to be in December. But today, I think based on the body of work going back to the start of the Super Cup, I think they've... when they have everybody, they are very good. But, of course, we know what Benfica has done so far, and we know what Porto has done and what they are capable of doing. Porto, they'll be reminded pretty soon about the League Cup. We saw the result with Rio Ave Santa Clara. Santa Clara had a 2-1 lead at half. They wound up drawing 2-2 with Rio Ave in the Tasa de Liga. And I'm bringing that up because I'm pretty sure the people in Porto were paying attention, because had Santa Clara won, Porto at the end of October would have had to go on to the Azores and would have certainly had to have gone for the 3 points. Because they've never won the Tasa de Liga. And I was talking about this with a Porto fan the other day after the result that, you know, Porto is going to be very happy with that draw, because now they get to go to Santa Clara. And if they win, then they get to come home and play Rio Ave, and they'll be in cruise control to qualify out of the group. But Porto right now, Fabio Vieira just signed with Jorge Mendes and Jesse Foot. Fantastic player, 3 assists, as I mentioned. Diego Costa, he's going to create a big decision with Conceição, but it's still nevertheless a good problem that a manager likes to have. Porto showing right now, Tereme, Luis Diaz, everything is firing on cylinders. Corona, another report this week that Sevilla was looking at him. So we'll see what happens with that. But Porto right now, the young players are stepping up. The players like Luis Diaz, who were bought a few years ago, are stepping up. And even though I know Porto right now is still 4 points behind Benfica, let's not forget one of those was a Clásico result. The Marítimo result, I don't care what they say about the pitch, it's still an ugly draw. But I think if you're Porto, right now things are okay with Porto, but, you know, you still have some tough matches to come. Keep an eye on Ruiz Vitória over at Spartak Moscow. Not great results overall. He could be on his way out. I've never been a big fan of Ruiz Vitória. I thought he did a great job at Benfica when he took over for JJ, and he did what he did, winning the championship right away. Maybe it's because he's just too nice of a guy, but, again, good luck to him. Maybe he gets to hold on. But so far, the body of work there isn't very good. The women's national team of Portugal, they don't get a lot of attention, but from time to time, I will, of course, mention them. They are going to be on the FIFA 22 game, so good for them. Eder, the Euro 2016 hero, he just signed with a club, Al Reed, in Saudi Arabia. One of the tough things about being a footballer, a soccer player, is when you start to get into your 30s and you don't have opportunities to play, whether it be in Portugal or really another big league in Europe, even if it's, you know, Greece, Turkey, Russia. But he is going to be going to Saudi Arabia, and that's where he's going to be continuing his career. Don't feel bad for him, though. I'm sure he's making a lot of money in Saudi Arabia. And at this point in his career, that's really what a lot of footballers try to do. You know, they want to really make that big money. But he will forever be a legend in Portugal. And obviously, we continue to wish him the very best. Cristiano Ronaldo, you know the story. I don't really need to indulge you on anything more. His mother did the podcast with Sporting this week. And she said that, she's kind of told Cristiano that she wants to see him one day go back to Sporting. I don't see it. I've talked about this in the past. I don't think this is a surprise if you're a regular follower. I just don't see Cristiano going to Sporting. I think, unless he doesn't have opportunities in Europe, and what club in Europe, just by the way, just signing him, you're going to make money with, the amount of commercialization around his brand, the amount of money you will make just selling, kits and anything associated with Cristiano. But, I still think he'll probably have a chance at Major League Soccer. I think Beckham with Inter Miami has been mentioned, but I think if you're Cristiano, you go to New York. It just, you know, that's what you want to do if you're trying to grow your brand, because the guy's involved with hotels. He's involved with a whole bunch of stuff. But his mom did say she'd like to see him go back. That would be a great story if it happens. But if Sporting's plan right now is young players and their objective continues to be the Liga and to obviously do as well as they can, but obviously the Liga is their number one objective, I'm not really sure when you have a player like Cristiano and his agent, Jorge Mendes, said that, you know, Cristiano wants to compete for the highest level. He wants to compete for trophies. And does he get a chance to compete in the Champions League if he were to go there in 2 to 3 years? Chances are he'd be better off going to another team in Europe that might be playing in the Champions League, even if it isn't one of the European giants. But interestingly, Manchester United, they were knocked out of the Carabao Cup, the League Cup. Cristiano wasn't involved. And then, you know, they subbed out, I think, him and Bruno in the Champions League last match. And, you know, the Swiss side came back to draw. So Cristiano doing great things, certainly better than what Messi's doing over at PSG. And again, we continue to wish him all the best of luck. Nuno Espírito Santo and Bruno Lage went up against each other. And Nuno Espírito Santo went on to win in penalty kicks to advance in the Carabao Cup. Nuno Espírito Santo, mixed results. I know this weekend is the very big match with Arsenal. That's always a very good match to see as somebody like me who's an Arsenal fan. But Nuno and Lage went up against each other a few days ago, and Nuno got the better of Bruno Lage. Folks, I think I'm going to wrap up episode 86 right here. Let me start off by saying, because I don't say it enough, thank you for all your support. The numbers have just been tremendous. You know, again, thank you for your comments, whether you like it or not. Always appreciate hearing this. Time to time, I will take your ideas into consideration. Hopefully, the technical quality of this podcast is a lot better than maybe what it was a few months ago. And again, I just want to say thank you. Folks, this has been episode 86. Again, thank you for your support. You can listen to this podcast on many platforms such as iTunes, Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcast. The numbers are awesome. YouTube as well, exploding. And again, thank you for listening. And again, this is about Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, and try to get better every week. Until next time, everybody, ciao.